I've got a little message, a little fall on my heart, and it's not in Romans tonight, and so it's back in the book of Job, chapter 23, and I just had this little fall on my heart. It's not a deep thought, I guess, and it may be just a little reminder, and maybe just kind of stir us up concerning some things that maybe even we already know, but I had this thought on my heart for the jail here not long ago. For those men, and then went in to preach it and never even got to it, to be honest with you. Lord just kind of led us in a totally different direction and never even preached it there that night, and that's okay, and I'm not preaching it just for the sake of preaching it tonight. I just kind of had it on my heart and couldn't really get away from it. So I wanted to give it to you tonight and pray that it will be a blessing and help, be a good reminder, and maybe go hand in hand with the message this morning. This morning was dealing with our burden for those in our Israel, our Jerusalem, our brethren, our circle. And tonight is kind of, in a way, joining hands with that, dealing with really what's even going to save them, and that is the Word of God, dealing with the value of the Word of God. And so if you'll look with me here in Job chapter 23, you don't have to stand. We'll just read a few verses and I'll give you what the Lord's put on my heart tonight. Look with me in Job chapter 23 and look in verse number, we'll just start in verse number 1. It says, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." Boy, haven't you ever felt that way? He said in verse 3, that, "Oh, that I knew where that I might find him." Have you ever just felt like, "You know, I just wish I could find God"? And we know God's there. We know standing somewhere in the fat shadows, you'll always find Jesus, and he's always there. But when you it seems like sometimes you just can't sense him. You can't sense his presence. And you know what happens whenever you're there? You have to walk by faith. We walk by faith, trusting that he is there. And but boy, I have really felt like Job is feeling right now. He's talking about, you know, looking forward, looking behind him, on the left hand, on the right hand, and it's like God is nowhere. And have you ever just thrown your hands up and been like, just, "Lord, you know, where are you? Why are you not here?" And we've all certainly felt that way. But he says in verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And boy, that's a very popular, well-known verse, and the truth there and the comfort in that verse. Because whenever you're at the place where you don't know, it doesn't feel like you know where God's at, and you don't feel him near you, and you can't sense him, and it feels like you can't find him, you got to trust, you got to know that he does know where you are. And he does know the way that you're taking. He does know the path you are trotting. He knows right where you are. And when you've been tried, when you get through that, when you get through what you're going through, you're going to come forth better off than you were before. God is using that thing. And that goes right in hand with what we were looking at in Romans 8. But he says in verse 11, "My foot hath held his steps. This way have I kept and not declined." This is my text verse tonight, verse 12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." As we look at these verses, what we see in these verses is the great value that Job puts on the Word of God. Now, what this text is, what these verses is, this is a response to the arguments that his friends and the indictments that Job's friends have brought against him. Now, Probably all of us are familiar with the book of Job. The first couple chapters deal with, you know, that day that came in Job's life. And the day where he lost everything. He lost his children. He lost, you know, his finances. He lost everything he had. He lost his health. The devil attacked him in every area that you can pretty much be attacked. The biggest areas. And every time the devil took something from him, Job did not recant and did not turn from God. And so Job would touch another area of life, and Job still stayed faithful to God. And just because of that, he touched another area of his life. And before it was over, every major area of Job's life had been touched. He touched his family. When Job wouldn't turn, he touched his finances. And when Job wouldn't turn, he finally touched his flesh, and Job still wouldn't turn. And so before it was over with, he's got nothing and has his children all gone. And from the top of his head to his bottom of his feet, he's covered in boils. And he's sitting there scraping them with a broken piece of pottery, scraping the pus and the infection out of him with a broken piece of pottery. And he is so broken down, and his life has been totally turned upside down. And no matter how bad any of us have it, we'll never have it as bad as Job had it, probably. And even if we did have it as bad as Job had it, we'd still never have it as bad as Christ had it. Amen? If you think you feel lonely, you've never been as lonely as Jesus. We'll never be as lonely as Jesus was. And so we know what happened to Job. We know it all took place in his life. And no doubt in this situation in his life, he certainly felt the words that he said as far as not being able to find God. I mean, if we think that we've been in a place where we couldn't sense the presence of God, my word, how did Job feel? I mean, just you know, one thing after another. We talk about one thing after another in our life, but it's never been one thing after another like it was in his life, you know. And we, you know, there's been bad situations. Even the past year, we've had some that's had a house burn. We've had things go on. And I mean, all of us have had things go on, but we've never had it that bad. And if we think we were at a place where we couldn't find God, my word, Job really was at a place where no doubt he looked around and thought, God, you have deserted me. And yet, in light of all that, in light of all that he went through, and in light of being in the deepest valley of anyone's life, I mean, of his life, certainly, and certainly the deepest valley of probably just about anyone that's ever lived, Job still values the Word of God. He still puts a high price tag, a high value, a high esteem in his life on God's Word. And his testimony concerning the Word of God is still that I still believe God's Word to be true. I've not turned from His Word. I still believe His Word. I still trust His Word. I still value the Word of God. And you know, a lot of people, they will value the Word of God when it's easy to. When the sun is shining and it's easy to do what the Bible says, they'll do what the Bible says. But the second it gets hard, it's like, you know, they don't believe it as much as they used to, you know. And really, the way all of us live, the testimony we have, what we do and don't want, it really shows and exposes how much or how little we really do value the Word of God. How much we value what thus saith the Lord is. And so what we find in these verses, though, is a great, great testimony regarding the Word of God in Job's life. And Job's answering these critics here, and really they've unjustly accused him of evil. So just to add insult to injury in all this, you know, he's got friends that are so great, who even needs enemies, right? And they've come. And in their mind, we're really going to go be a blessing to Job and help straighten him out and all this. When, I mean, they're like the greatest hindrance in his life. His wife is telling him to curse God and die. And his friends are telling him, Job, it's got to be because of sin in your life. And Job knows he hadn't done anything wrong. And so he's answering this unjust indictment. And he gives, in the midst of it all, this great response, this great declaration about the Word of God. And what we see here, we see his attitude, and we see it in three ways. The first thing I see in his attitude, what we can gather from Job and his attitude concerning the Word of God, is his esteem for the Word of God. He said in the verse, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That is mighty high esteem. Job's basically saying, if I don't have anything to eat, you know, if it's the Word of God or getting something to eat, I'm going to go with the Word of God. If I'm going to choose one or the other, I'll go with God's Word. If it's going to cost me, you know, the necessary things in life, if it would cost me my necessities, I would still go with the Word of God. And that ought to be our attitude too. Amen? In 2022 America, our attitude towards God's Word is that even if it costs us the most necessary things for life, I will still go with God's Word. I'm still going to do what God's Word says. See, Job lets us know his attitude is concerning the Word of God is that he values it more the necessary food. You know, Jesus said the same thing. You fast forward to the New Testament, and in Matthew 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, if you think about Job, he's valuing the Word of God, and here he sits, having lost everything he's got, and he's valuing the Word of God, but really in terms of the Word of God he's valuing the limited amount of the Word of God he's got. We're sitting here in 2022 with way more than Job ever had. Way more than Job was ever blessed with in terms of God's Word. This is not everything God could have said to us, but it's everything God needed to say to us. Everything God wanted to say to us. We've got a complete Bible. We've got the mind of God in our hands. And yet, we value it a lot of times less than what Job did. And Job didn't even have the whole thing. Job had such a limited revelation concerning God's Word. All he had was just what had been given to him at the time. And yet he still took what he had and he valued that more than necessary food. He esteemed it in his life. Now of all the things you and I could esteem, the Word of God ought to be it. You know, those of us that are parents, of all the things that we could esteem in our family, in esteem before our children, it better be the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to stand. That's the only thing that's going to remain true forever is thus saith the Lord. If our children see us as parents esteeming something and valuing something and prioritizing something in our life, let it be God's Word. Let them see that we value the Word of God. I can't remember who it was that said it. I think it was someone in the missions conference that was talking about children seeing hypocrisy. And boy, they'll see it, man. They will see it. They'll see us go to church on Sunday and sit under preaching and say amen to one thing and listen to one thing and then go out and do another. They see that stuff. And if we're going to esteem anything before our family, if we're going to esteem anything before the world, if we're going to esteem anything in life, let it be the Word of God. Do you really value God's Word? See, Job saw the real value in the Word of God, and he gave it honor, the same honor we all should give it. When really, in one sense, from the eye of the flesh, we'd say if anybody had an excuse to turn from the Word of God, surely it was Job. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? And from the eye of the flesh, I mean, if it seemed like the Word of God and the promises of God had ever failed anybody, certainly it was Job. Certainly if anybody could say, man, I have tried the Word and I've tried going with God and I've given it my all and God and His Word failed me in my life. If anybody could say that, certainly from the eye of the flesh, it would have to be Job. But we've got the Word of God. We know that the Word of God had not failed him. We see both sides of it. God has rolled the curtain back to let us see not just what was going on earth, but He let us see what Job never knew was going on. He let us see what was going on in heaven. And see, that's the thing. That's what we have to remember about chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the book of Job is that when the sons of God present themselves before the Lord and Satan comes also with them, you know, and God recommends Job for all these trials and recommends him to prove to the devil that he will not recant. We have to remember that Job had no idea those things were going on. He had no idea. It's easy for us to look at it and say, well, man, yeah, Job, he ought to just stay faithful because, you know, God's doing all this and it's all for a reason. But Job didn't know any of that. Job's living his life, doing the best he can, just trying to be faithful, trying to raise his family right. He's offering sacrifices for his children, offering prayers for his children, trying to do right, trying to please God. I mean, just doing the best he can, living his life, and he's blessed, and God's, you know, taking care of him. And then out of nowhere, for seemingly no reason at all, he loses it all. If anybody could say, well, man, I've gone with God and it ain't worked out. I've gone with God and it hadn't worked out. If anybody could say that, certainly it could be Job. And yet he never said that. He never said, this just ain't working out. I'm going to try something else. No, he said, I'm going to trust God's word. I'm going to stay with God. He esteemed God's word even in the deepest valleys. See, man, a lot of people now, they don't esteem God's word when the sun's shining, much less whenever the sun's blotted out in their life. How do you value the Word of God? See, Job's attitude, or that sort of attitude, that esteem for the Word of God, it'll really change your life. You know what makes somebody faithful to church? Esteeming the Word of God, right? Valuing the Word of God. By the way, it'll make someone faithful to a Bible preaching church, too. Where the Bible's preached and where it's majored on and where the Scriptures are faithfully proclaimed and they'll receive from the Word of God. They want to know what God says. Valuing the Word of God in their life, that's what will cause that. Folks aren't going to be off doing something else whenever the Bible's being preached at their church if they esteem the Word of God. Isn't that right? And so the first attitude is that he esteemed it. But then, the second thing I see in his attitude with the Word of God is the essentialness of the Word in his life. He esteemed it, but he didn't just esteem it. He also saw it as essential, like he had to have it. That's what he said in the statement, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, he doesn't just say food, he says my necessary food. He acknowledges the necessity of food. That is, not the excess food, not the snacks. Not the dessert that I'm eating after I've gotten full of everything else. I mean, you know, we always talk about saving room for dessert. Who does that, man? Nobody saves room for dessert. You eat all that you want, and then you cram dessert in there afterwards because you just want it, you know. Can I just tell you, that's not what Job's talking about here. He's not talking about eating till he's full, but then the little bit of dessert, the tasty treat that comes after that. No, he's talking about the necessary stuff. He's talking about what you eat whenever you're about to die. And you got to have that. The necessary food. Not just food, the necessary food. And he said, that's where I esteem the Word of God. Beyond the snacks, beyond the extra, he said, the Word of God is absolutely essential. It is more essential to me than the food that it would require to keep my physical body going in this world. And that's what we find in that statement. The essentialness of the Word of God is found in that statement. See, he didn't say the Word's more important than just some other non-essential thing. The snacks, a warm shower, a nice bed to sleep in, you know. A lot of that stuff we'd say, oh, these are the essentials. When we go get the essentials, you know, we go on a trip somewhere and we forget something and we talk about forgetting the essentials and we run to Walmart to get the essentials, a lot of stuff isn't really essential. In other words, you could live that. You wouldn't want to, but you could. Isn't that right? I mean, you wouldn't want to go to bed at night and sleep without a pillow, but I mean, you could survive. You wouldn't want to live and nobody else would want you to live without a toothbrush, but you could. People have done it for thousands of years. You wouldn't want to, and nobody else would want you to survive without deodorant. But, I mean, you could if you had to. That's not really essential stuff. What Job is talking about here is the things that you can't live without. The legit, the true essential things. And he's not talking about just the non, he's not talking about the comforts of life. He's talking about the essential things of life. The necessities of life. He said it's more important than even the necessities, the essential things. And you can't even survive without food. It is necessary for our physical body, but the Word is even more important than that. Now, whether you and I believe it or not, whether we receive it and view it that way or not, that is the reality. And so we can believe it or not and esteem it that way in our life or give it that place in our life or not give it that place in our life. But if you're living without the Word of God, you're not really living. If you're surviving without the Word of God, you're not really surviving. You're not going to make it without the Word of God. It just as food feeds your physical body, the Word of God feeds the spiritual man, the spiritual being. And the spiritual being will not survive without it. Because, see, the spiritual is more important than the physical anyways. The spiritual side of us, the spiritual aspects of us, is far more important than the physical aspects of us. Amen? And that's why a lot of the churches, that's why a lot of our area and things, that's why we're in a lot of the shape that we're in. Because over the past few years, people got to thinking that they can survive without it. They can survive by just jumping online and watching the live stream, you know, while they're doing something else. And, you know, just kind of give it this half-hearted effort towards God, you know, and this half-hearted effort towards the Word of God. But I'll say, like I've heard Brother Alfred Willis say many times, that if you're not reading your Bible consistently, you're not reading your Bible on a daily basis, if you're not valuing the Word of God, and you're not in the Word of God, and taking in and eating and surviving on the Word of God, if you are not reading your Bible, he says it's just a matter of time until you fall. It's just a matter of time. You're not surviving. See, that's how subtle the devil is. He'll make you think you're doing just fine without it. That's how subtle your flesh is. Make you think you're doing just fine without it. But you're not doing near as good as you really think you are. Let a man that think he stand take heed lest he fall. And it's just a matter of time without you fall. The Word of God is absolutely essential. Last of all, in this attitude, we see the endurance of the Word of God. So, he esteemed the Word of God. There's the essentialness for the Word of God. And then the endurance of the Word of God. Now, look here in the verse. Look at this statement. He says, in the last of the verse, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Again, if anybody probably had an excuse, at least from the eye of the flesh, if anyone had an excuse, we'd say it certainly had to be Job. If anyone had a, you know, an excuse or a reason to go back, we'd say, well, I mean, the flesh would say, certainly Job, but yet in spite of great troubles, Job never junked the Word of God in his life. He still stuck with the Word of God. It's amazing how quickly people will turn on the Word of God whenever they go through some hard time or go through some struggle, go through something they don't understand, and they will so quickly just turn on the Word of God. You say, well, they didn't turn on the Word of God, they just quit church. Quitting church is turning on the Word of God. That's junking the Word of God in your life. Isn't that right? You say, well, they didn't turn on the Word of God, they just compromised on a few things. That's junking the Word of God. That is turning on the Word of God. And in the troubles and the hard times, that's when we need to hold to the Word of God the tightest. That's when we need to be the most faithful. That's when we need to be the closest to God and be sure that we take inventory to make sure we're doing what the Word of God says when the troubles come. That's what Job did. He said, I've not turned. Listen, I've had all these troubles, but I have yet to turn from the Word of God. In spite of great troubles, he still obeyed what God said and esteemed it above even the essential things in his life. Now, obviously, then, the Word of God had not failed him in trouble. It may have looked like God was nowhere to be found, but no doubt the Word of God still held firm in Job's life. And in our darkest hours, you know, everything typically fails us. That's the way it feels, at least. You know, whenever you're going through a dark time, it seems like the people that you need the most, a lot of times will fail you in your darkest hour. People that have been faithful in everything. I mean, you know, men fail. That's just the way it is. And everything eventually will fail. If it hasn't yet, it's going to. Except for God's Word. It will be the one thing that will always be the constant in your life. It will always endure everything. The Word of God will. It will endure all the troubles, all the trials, everything. It will never let us down. It will always be help when we're on the mountain and when we're in the valley. It will always be there. I read a quote by Corrie ten Boom. Anybody ever read The Hiding Place? I know Hannah has. Boy, what a great book. Dutch watchmaker, you know, her and her family, watchmakers there. And then here comes the Nazi Germany invading and all these things. And they took it upon themselves to begin hiding Jews in their home, protecting them from the Nazis during the Holocaust. They wind up being arrested. They gets discovered they've been hiding Jews, and her sister and her family, I think most of her family was killed if I remember right, but then her and her family wind up going through all these horrendous trials, going through all these horrendous things, going through those Nazi concentration camps. And boy, I mean, you know, we think about Job having a hard time. Boy, that family, they had a hard time. And going through all of that, experiencing all of that, going through all those hardness and all those trials. And boy, you think, I mean, just like Job said, I mean, Job's just trying to live for God. And he looks around, it's like, God, where are you? Boy, Corrie ten Boom could have said that. Lord, we're just trying to save your people. Just trying to do what's right here. And yet they wind up in some of the most horrendous things that anyone could ever even imagine. And yet whenever she came through it all later in her life, this is what she said. She said, I have experienced His presence in the deepest hell that man can create. I have really tested the promises of the Bible, and believe me, you can count on them. And I'm telling you that in your darkest valley, when everything else is gone, you better make sure you've still got the Word of God. Because endurance is part of the value of God's Word. Really, we don't often esteem it this way or value it this way. We should, because the truth is there really is nothing more important in our life than God's Word. Everything we want, everything we need, God can provide. In every direction in life, everything, every answer we have, every question we have, the answer can be found in God's Word. God can give it to us through His Word. How do you value the Word of God? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for blessing us with it. And I pray that You would help us to be reminded, Lord, to always value Your Word, and help us, Lord, to esteem it very highly in our life. Lord, help us, Lord, to be like Job and esteem it more than necessary food. Lord, to hold tightly, to cling to Your Word and to Your promises in these days. Lord, we're going to need it in the days ahead. Lord, help us, Lord, as we leave this place, to take Your Word and what You've said to us today with us. Lord, help us to have a burden for those around us. Lord, to walk, Lord, in the days ahead with a burden. Lord, to pray and, Lord, to seek Your face and Your will, Lord, to be a witness, Lord, to have an open door to lead somebody, Lord, to You and give somebody the gospel. Lord, help us to be filled with the Spirit, live the Spirit-filled life, and Lord, help us to value the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for letting us be together today. Thank You for Your people. Help us, Lord, to be what You'd have us to be, Lord, as we go out in the week ahead. Lord, as we go, and Lord, as we engage the world, as we live our lives, help us, Lord, to live them for You. Lord, to esteem Your will and Your Word, Lord, above everything else. Lord, we thank You for what You do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.